Welcome back to the final segment today of the Vinnie Eastwood Show with my miraculous, fabulous, and archaeological extraordinaire in a dark occulted mysticism sense of the word, Martin Dutray from CelticNZ.co.nz and TreatyOfWaitangi.net.nz. Martin, do you take donations?
I try and just make it on my own if I can. I don't really advertise for donations myself, so I try and keep my website sort of clean, if you like, and free of all sorts of ads and that, just so that we can just home in on the information. And I've been able to, by rubbing Peter and paying Paul for years, I've been able to kind of maintain it, yeah. Mm.
Well, it's a juggling and balancing act. I found that if you're selling BS, suddenly you've got all the money you could ever want, but you've got no time and no life. But if you're selling the truth, you've got plenty of time and plenty of life, but bugger all money, you know? It's like...
There's no money to be made in actually telling the truth. You really just have to take a vow of poverty and get on with it. That's all you can do. You're never going to make a quid out of it.
Yeah. See, I always wanted to just be able to survive, you know, just as long as I'm fed and housed, I'm happy, because I get to expose scumbaggery every day, you know, like that's my drug now.
Yep. No, you're doing a great job. It's really good, but I'll bet you you're copying a huge number of insults coming your way.
Not a whole lot. You know, okay. I've become. I practice an ancient Chinese arts with the initials FU, and yes, and the block function is your best friend. If you're talking about stuff that's really unpopular, as I do, somebody comes at you and it's not a constructive criticism, it's not trying to talk to you, it's accusatory, it's in all capital letters, it's ridiculously unfounded, block, and you suddenly never hear that person again. You know, so they say it to you on Facebook, they say it to you on YouTube, they say it to you on Twitter, they say it to you on Skype, block. And you allow the toxicity to be purged from your life, much like a teenager might get pleasure out of squeezing an enormous, unsightly pimple.
Okay.
That's how we do it. Now, speaking of which, of how we do it, we've only got one more segment, less than 10 minutes left, Martin. I was wondering, what is your... Can I ask you, just in terms of going through all of this, you've seen the revision of history, you've seen how you were raised as a boy and that very culture and the general knowledge of the people and everybody getting massively dumbed down. You've seen all these changes. How long did it take you through seeing these changes? At what age did you start saying, man, I really have to do something about this? And what was that? Was there a catalyzing incident?
Right, well, I left New Zealand to do the big OE at the age of 19. I came back, I was 27 or something like that. And, I just walked into this completely different situation. And, I'd been raised with all those books, A.W. and A.H. Reid books. I think they wrote about 200 books on New Zealand history where all the stuff got mentioned. I talked to many kaumatuas, I'd read many of the oral traditions and things, it was all there, and there was this forced amnesia being put across the top of us, and I couldn't do very much initially. I got married, and you then get very preoccupied with mortgages and trying to just stay afloat and pay for a home and that kind of thing. But then later, I found I did have the time at about the age of 50. Where I could finally address this. I'd been waiting for years for the academics to come in and say, no, all this other new nouveau history is wrong. We're going back to the old stuff. This is the way it really should be. But they never did come in and correct it. So I just went out onto the landscape myself. I used the skills I'd gained as a carpenter using the theodolite and doing surveying work and applied measurement standards and those kinds of scientific standards to what was on the landscape and found there were alignments, solar observatories, it's been quite a journey for about the last 15 years.
Mm-hmm. And solar observatories and all of these celestial categorizing monuments for people in ancient times, that was all written about and you knew all about this and you just decided to take it from the page into reality, didn't you?
Yeah, right. I mean, technically, we should be celebrating this amazing megalithic history we've got in this country. If you're in Britain, you know, families will go out onto the hills, go and visit some of the old sites, have a picnic and see the beautiful views. And they make pilgrimages to these sites all over Britain and continental Europe. We've got the sites all over New Zealand, and normally they're in beautiful settings, overlooking seascapes, nice and elevated, very, very picturesque. And yet all of the information about it is suppressed. All the archaeologists have got to do is get out of their ivory towers and go out on the landscape and start really looking at what's there. And one way they could really fast-track it is get surveyors from the Otago Surveying School to go and apply their surveying skills to these markers and things on the landscape and get geologists to say, well, that couldn't have occurred there without human intervention. You know, there are all of these scientific, methods that are available to us to prove what these structures are. And also their age. Another thing that's, of course, very, very suppressed is the skeletal evidence in the caves of the people who do not have the Polynesian rock and jaw, who've got the very squarish eyes, who've got the very pyramidal nose opening, who've got the small mouth clench, and they're not Maori individuals. They're not of Polynesian extraction. And all of that evidence is suppressed. Whenever the skeletal evidence is brought to light by mistake, somebody excavating or whatever, the skeletons are then whisked away and destroyed. Nothing is allowed to be properly analysed. Unless it, it's not allowed to be analysed unless it upset the status quo and the established way that we look at things.
Mm. And what did your parents do for a living, Martin?
My father worked for the New Zealand Department of Agriculture. He was actually an American serviceman who stayed on. He married a local and, my mother was from Auckland. She went back to the States for just a few years, after the war, and I was born in Los Angeles. But she got very homesick, and my dad had been from a very arid area of Nevada, and he loved the beautiful, lush New Zealand countryside. So he came over here, he finished his education on the GI Bill, and joined the New Zealand Department of Agriculture. And used to love travelling around the farms of New Zealand, seeing all that lush territory. He just couldn't believe that you could have two cows to an acre, where in his ranch in Nevada, where he was raised, it took 40 acres to raise one animal. So he loved New Zealand,
Yeah. Well, because I've always said that when people dedicate their lives to the pursuit of truth, and more to the point, the enlightenment of others as to the lost truth, whatever it might be of their particular stripe, they're either born into a family where they're kind of educated in a way in which it becomes inevitable that they pick this path. And the other side is when they're particularly talented people who get really, really good grades, essentially, in the establishment structure, and then something real bad happens to them and they spend the rest of their life trying to correct it. Neither of those two apply to you, do they really?
When I went to school, primary school, I was doing very well. I had some problems at home when I first entered high school. And there for a period of time, I just wasn't interested at all. I was basically going along to school, eating my lunch. Later on, I got another sort of breath of it all and got involved in my education. But found I loved the great outdoors. I loved carpentry work. I didn't like being stuck in classrooms. So I pursued the trades more than any sort of academic fields, and I'm very glad I did. In recent years, I've done a lot of reader writing at the university, the local university. I've spent several years doing that, writing the class notes for disabled students. So I've been right through the system, you know, and I'm really quite appalled at a lot of the kind of history that's taught in those classes, how you only get one half of the truth, especially when it comes to sociology, areas of history, that kind of thing. You'll only get a very, very limited view. You won't get taught the other half. You know, it's very, very important to know. So I had to bite my lip and keep my mouth shut in a lot of those classes.
Yeah. You know, I see that same situation now with just police officers. You know that they're wrong, but because they've got a taser, you just bite your lip a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Martin Dutroux, ladies and gentlemen, you can check out his websites, CelticNZ.co.nz and TrekBeofWaitangi.net.nz. Martin, thank you so much for your time today, man. And, keep up the good work, as they say. And I'll try and make sure that these videos are available for people to watch on the YouTube channel. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. And we'll see you again sometime.